Hey everyone, Danielle here from Unstoppable Grace. Thanks so much for being here and listening to our podcast. So today is just going to be me sharing my testimony with you. It's turned out to be a very busy life season, and every time Heidi and I had scheduled to record together, I ended up having to cancel just because various things have been coming up. So today it's just me talking to you and sharing the story of how Jesus Christ transformed my life through the gospel and how my life has been forever changed. So I'm incredibly excited to share that story with you, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I pray that He will use my story to speak to you and that you would come to know Him. So let's get right into it. There have been so many times in the past where I've heard someone share their testimony. And not always, of course, but in a lot of cases, a lot of people's testimonies start out as, I was raised in a Christian home, or I was raised in the church. And my story is similar. I was raised in what I would consider to be a hyper-charismatic Pentecostal church. And we were in one particular church basically from birth until my teen years. And after that, until I moved out of the city that I was raised in, I continued to attend various charismatic Pentecostal churches. And my parents were very faithful church attenders, my mom especially. She would take me to church. I remember one Sunday I had a really bad stomach ache and did not want to go, but my mom insisted that we did. And so I brought my pillow to church and laid on the pew, and yeah, it was just really important to her that we were involved in that church, and we were very much so. So I essentially grew up being in the church. But there were so many things that confused me, whether it was watching people speak in tongues or massive sheets that they would have, like blankets almost, but just really big, or flags that they would kind of wave back and forth and people would run under them. And there would people that would do the train around the church, and people that would fall over and heads would be shaking. And there were just so many things that I witnessed in the church. And obviously it wasn't all that, but I just remember growing up around that and never really understanding or being able to comprehend what was going on around me. And for a girl that grew up in a church and a girl that identified as a Christian and was known to many people in school as a good little Christian girl, I had such a hard time understanding what was going on around me. And it made me feel incredibly uncomfortable. I couldn't speak in tongues. It was something that was frowned upon, not by my parents, but in youth group, there were times where I would be put in the middle of a circle, and people would not physically throw things at you, but in the spirit, they would pretend to take objects. I'm not sure. I can't explain it because I don't understand it, but throwing things at you in like this spiritual battle so that you could speak in tongues, and just so many things that I didn't understand happened during my younger years and into my teen years that I just didn't understand. And I think the hardest thing for me was that I saw so many people around me experiencing this relationship with God that I didn't have, and I didn't know how to attain it. And for years, I called it a wall. And I remember going to multiple people in the church, leaders, my youth pastors, and just saying like, hey, I have this wall and I don't know how to get rid of it. And I want to know God, but I just don't know how to get over this. And it was something that I genuinely struggle with. I remember just feeling so defeated because there was this wall between me and God, and I couldn't achieve what other people around me were experiencing. And seeing that as a young child, but also as you grow up, it was challenging because I wanted those things, and I wanted to know this God that everyone talked about. And I mean, again, the church was very much a part of my life, And so that was something that I wanted to experience. So when I was 19, I was probably about as insecure as a girl could be. I have two loving parents that I respect and honor and care about with my whole heart. And as any earthly parents are, they are imperfect, of course. And there were areas in my childhood, specifically with my dad, and again, I love and honor him, that caused some gaps in my life as a young girl. And I desired to be cared for and longed for by a man. And I think a lot of that is when we don't get what we need from our earthly father. We sometimes portray God as we almost put the same expectations, or at least I did, on my heavenly father. And when I went into the world, when I left home, I had this huge void and gap in my life, and essentially went to other places to fill that void and that gap. So when I was 19, I moved to New York City to pursue a dream that I had to become a pastry chef and cake decorator. So I moved there, and again, I was not in a, I did not have a solid foundation at all. I was looking for a void in my life to be filled. And I quickly came to realize that a life in the world was a lot more appealing at that time than a life serving a God that I felt so far away from. Again, there was this wall, there was this gap between this God that I was raised around. And when I moved to New York and saw this lifestyle that was thrilling and exciting, and all of these people that were around me were living in the world, and many of them attended a church that I was going to there. And so I almost excused it as, hey, if they're doing this, I can do this as well. Which obviously is very wrong. But that's what I did. But still, even when I decided to kind of live more in the world, a part of me held onto this hope that God was there, and that this wall would break down essentially. And just to put a really long story into a few words, I started online dating. My desire was to get married. My desire was to find a godly man, but I didn't have any sort of foundation as to what that even looked like at that time in my life. And so I started online dating and met this guy, and essentially pretty quickly determined in my mind that I was going to marry him. And unfortunately, well, you know what? Fortunately, praise God for that. He did not feel the same way. And so after about a few months of dating, he ended things, and he claimed that he could not fall in love with me. And as a 19-year-old girl that already struggled with identity issues, I was crushed and heartbroken. And around the same time my visa ended, I was told that I had 30 days to get out of the country, which was not expected or planned. I wasn't aware of that. And I essentially moved back to Grand Prairie after about 2 years in New York. And I was broken. I was, I was close to rock bottom in my life, and just in this really, really deep, dark, sad, lonely place, and this place where I felt like I was not enough. And I just so badly wanted that wall between God to be gone, but also to be loved. And it was such a deep, strong desire. And when I got to a place in my life where I couldn't be, or this person that I thought was going to fulfill that in my life couldn't, I was left completely shattered. So I moved back to Grand Prairie, and my plan was to move to Europe. I was determined. There was an internship down there at a bakery, and I was going to get enough money to go to Europe and basically just live a life that was fun and let go of my problems. That was my plan. If you would have asked me what I was doing, I was taking off to have a good time and let go of my real life worries. But I needed money to be able to go there. So I came back to Grand Prairie in the winter of 2013. I guess it was fall. And my dad owns a landscaping company, and it happened to be the record snowfall that winter, and I did snow removal for him. So I was working 12, 13, 14, up to 16-hour days, 30 days straight, just crazy hours shoveling snow. And again, just with the goal of getting as much money as I could to take off to Europe. And God had this planned, but my dad ended up hiring a guy that was just in the city looking to work in the oil patch, and he couldn't get a job. So my dad hired him just for a couple of weeks to kind of help me out, because it was too much for me to handle on my own. And this guy ended up being a Baptist. He was a believer in Jesus Christ. And we worked together. We shoveled snow for very long hours. And as we would drive from location to location, we would have conversations. And I was very broken at that time in my life, and I think it was pretty obvious, and obviously didn't go into a ton of details with this person that I didn't know, but he knew that I was not saved and that I was broken. He knew that I had grown up in a Christian home, but that I didn't believe the true gospel. And through our months of working together in the wintertime, he asked me some really real and raw questions that no one had ever asked me before. And he was very blunt and straightforward with me that, just about the gospel, and that this life that I was living without Christ and not being saved was a life of destruction and would ultimately lead to eternal punishment. And I just remember hearing the gospel from him and having him show me the verses and having him ask me very real and raw questions, where I then realized that I had never truly understood the gospel that saves, the gospel that I was saved by true grace. For so long, I felt like I had to do something to be good enough, that it was by works. And I think a big part of it was that I didn't understand the true gospel, even though I thought I was a Christian. And that was life-shattering for me. So in, I would say it was probably February or March, I don't remember the exact day, in 2014, where I confessed that Jesus Christ was my Lord and Savior. And I will tell you with complete confidence that that wall that I had for years and years was shattered and it was gone. And Jesus Christ lived and still lives and always will live inside of me. And my life was absolutely transformed in a way that I don't even know how to describe to you. But I can tell you that there was such a difference in my life from before to after believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and believing that he had died on the cross for my sins, that he had risen 3 days later, and that I was saved fully by grace and not by works, and that there was nothing that I could do to lose my salvation. And that truth, it genuinely changed my life and the direction and course of my life as well. And I did go to Europe. I ended up getting enough money and I went to Europe, but it was a 3-month trip to Europe where God literally transformed my life, where he showed me that I was not a victim of my past choices, but I made those choices, and that he had wiped my slate clean, and he had given me a new chance at life in a sense. And that was over 7 years ago, and life has not been easy over the past 7 years, but it has been filled with so much joy and so much grace and so much peace. And my life does not look anything like I imagined that it would. But yet I have seen God act in more ways that I could ever share. He is so true, and he's so righteous, and he is so just. And I am so incredibly grateful for the gift that he has given me, and he has given me such a burden to share the truth of the gospel, and specifically with people that did grow up in the church, specifically with people that identify as a Christian but not necessarily understand the true saving gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are saved by grace alone and not by works, and that there is nothing that we can do to lose that salvation. There's this quote that I've shared on here before, but it says, you can end wars and racism and hunger. You can end poverty and abortion. You can end sickness, and you can even end inequality. And if people still don't believe the gospel, they still go to hell. So if you're going to sell out for something, sell out for the gospel. How wild is that? We can do all of these things. We can serve. We can help others. We can be, quote unquote, a good person, or try to be a good person. No man is good but God. But yet, if we don't have the gospel, we still go to hell. And as scary as that is, it is true. And because it is true, the importance of understanding the gospel is, it's just invaluable. It's super important. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, if you have not confessed him as Lord, I have a question for you. Or even if you say that you are a Christian and you have grown up in a Christian home like me, I still have a question for you. And that is, if you were to die today, or let's just say 5 years from now, are you 100% sure that all of your sins, and that means sins past, present, and future, would be forgiven? And would you have eternal life? Let that question sink in. Would you have eternal life if you were to die today? Would you go to heaven? And if you answer that question with a resounding yes, and you know for sure that you are saved by grace and grace alone, then, I mean, that's the most amazing thing that you can do. And I encourage you to share that news with everyone around you. And if you answered maybe, or you're not sure, I just want to share the truth of the gospel with you, and ask that you take the next couple of minutes just to listen intently to what Jesus Christ did for you, and the good news of the gospel. 1 John 5:13 says that, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The Bible says that we may know that we have eternal life. Again, that was 1 John 5:13. And going into Titus 3:5 says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Romans 3:28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And 1 Corinthians 15:3 says that Christ died for our sins. So sin is a universal problem. It says in the Bible that there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So we have all sinned. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And simply put, sin is breaking God's laws. So most people know of the Ten Commandments. They know that they should not lie, that they should not covet, that they should not murder, all of these different commandments that God has given us in the Old Testament. And again, 1 John 3:4b says that, for sin is the transgression of the law. So it's breaking the law that God gave us. And a lot of people, when I ask them if they believe that if they were to die today, would they go to heaven? Many people will say, I think so, or I'm not sure, or I think I've been a good enough person. And there's this great analogy through a gospel sharing course that I've been taking called Netcasters. And essentially what it is if you have three different people that are lined up at the Grand Canyon, and you tell them to run as fast as they can, and the object is to jump over the Grand Canyon, no one would be able to make it. Others would jump farther than maybe some, but the point is that they would all fall short. They would not be able to make it across. It's impossible. And the same is true of getting to heaven, or the gospel in a sense. The Bible says that for we have all fallen short of the glory of God. And the same analogy with the Grand Canyon, we would all fall short. None of us would be able to make it fully across. And that's where the cross comes in. That's where Jesus Christ dying on the cross and him bearing our punishment comes in. And he fills that gap for us by bearing our sins. And I've heard a lot of people say that, well, if God is good, then he wouldn't send people to hell. Or if God loves us so much, he wouldn't send us to hell. Or if the majority of people are going to hell, then Satan wins and God loses because God died for all. And why would a good God let so many people go to hell? And there's a variety of responses to that, with which I'll get into too. But one is that God gives us a choice. A righteous God would never force anyone to do anything that they don't want. And second of all, God is just. He is the most just judge ever. And a just judge will judge according to what he says, or according to what the law is. And the Bible says, again, that for the wages of sin is death. And if God is just, he will follow through with that. Revelation 21:8 says that, just sort of paraphrasing it, the shorter part is, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And the first part of the verse lists out various sins or things that people do. So murderers, adulterers, all of these various sins that are very extreme, but then it also outlines liars. And I've shared before, and will share again, that I have told lies, and I'm pretty sure all of us have. And therefore, if we have done any of those things, if we've broken God's law in any way, if God is righteous as he says he is, and as we know he is, then my punishment would be hell. And that's where the good news comes in. Gospel means good news. Romans 5:8 says, but God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 Corinthians 15:3-4 says, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Again, Christ died for our sins. We talked about earlier that there's not a just man upon this earth that doeth good and sinneth not. And if the punishment or the wages of sin is death, and we go back to that scripture in 1 Corinthians where it says that Christ died for our sins and he bore that punishment for us, that is the good news. And 1 Peter 2:24a says that for his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. So Jesus took the sins of the world and he bore them on his own body on that tree. And he died for our sins. Jesus Christ was, I believe, 33 years old when he died. And 3 years into his ministry, he started at the age of 30. He died on the cross and he was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again. And John 19:30 says that Jesus said, it is finished. And I guess the question is what was finished? And among other things, the penalty for sin at that time was paid for. And since Jesus paid the penalty of sin, is there anything left for you to pay? If he paid it for you, is there anything left for you to pay? And I think one of the most important things to note here and realize is that it was a gift. There is nothing that we can do to earn our salvation. There's no work good enough. Going back to the analogy of the Grand Canyon, you might be really good and you might do all of these great things, but you'll never make it across that Grand Canyon, no matter what you do, because you will fall short, as the Bible says. And I've shared this before, but the analogy of a gift, if I were to give you a gift and say that you have to do something to earn that gift, or do something, if you don't do something, I will take that gift back, then it's no longer a gift. And salvation is the same thing. Jesus Christ, after you believe on him, which I'll get to shortly, he has given us that free gift that we will have eternally and forever. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So remember, Jesus walked the earth for 33 years and he sinned not. He was perfect in all ways. And he was also tempted in all ways that man has been tempted. And it's important to realize that he died on the cross for our sins as a perfect human being. He did not deserve that punishment. He gave that gift to us. And he says that in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And whosoever includes whosoever. It means anyone. Whosoever is anyone that will call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. We all know the verse John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Believing in Jesus is taking your confidence out of yourself, out of this idea that you can be good enough, that you have to work your way to heaven, and placing your confidence and trust fully in Christ. John 10:28 says that, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand." John 6:47 says that, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me shall have everlasting life." John 11:25, there's so many verses. I could go on and on. It says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die." Matthew 27:23, and this is a truth that is sometimes hard to realize, but it says that, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I thought about this verse a lot over the years, and as I read it over and over again, I go through the list of what these people are saying to Christ. And it says, "Have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? And have we not done many wonders in your name?" And those are big things. I don't know about you, but I've never cast a demon out of anyone. But that's kind of a big deal. And I think that the importance is that we can go and do all of these things. These people were doing all of these things in the name of Jesus, but they didn't actually know him, and Christ didn't know them. And so it's important that we truly understand the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel that saves. And that is that based on God's word, if you depend on Jesus Christ to save you from sin and hell, he will forgive your sins, credit his righteousness to your account, and give you eternal life. And eternal life is forever. Can you have everlasting life just for a little while? No, you can't. Eternal means forever and ever. And that means that once you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe that he was risen from the dead, you shall be saved. So my question for you is, do you believe that Jesus can save you from sin and from hell? And do you believe that Jesus would save you from sin and hell if you asked him to? And finally, Acts 16:31 says that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So friends, if you are listening to this today and perhaps you've, similar to me, identified as a Christian your whole life, but have not understood that you are saved fully by grace, and that Jesus Christ wants to give you that gift that he will never take away, I want to invite you to make that choice today, to believe on him, to accept him into your life, and to confess that he is the Lord of your life. The Christian life is not always easy. There are challenges, and there will be persecution, or there could be persecution. The Bible says that. But the truth of the gospel, that we have eternal life in Christ, and that the other option is going to hell forever, it is an incredible truth that we have a God that sent his son to die on the cross to forgive us for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And 10 years ago, if you would have asked me, if I were to die today, would I go to heaven? I probably would have said I wasn't sure. But if you ask me that today, I know 100%, without a shadow of a doubt, that I will be in heaven and that I will be with Christ one day, forever, eternally, and it will never end. And I know that it's not by my own doing and that there's nothing that I could do to earn that. It is fully by his grace. And when you understand that truth, that someone sent their son to die for you, someone that deserves the punishment of hell, as the Bible says, it's the most beautiful truth that you will ever have. And I know I say this all the time on here, and I get a little bit passionate about it, but we are called as believers to the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is to go out and make disciples of all nations. The Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, that there's essentially not enough harvesters, but there are lots of people that need to be saved. And if you are a believer and you do believe the truth, but you have been shy to share the gospel, I've been there and I still am sometimes. It can be frightening to share the truth. I was recently listening to I was attending a Bible study on Sunday morning, and the person that was sharing said that when he goes door-to-door soul winning, there's always this awkwardness when you go from earthly conversation to, hey, how's your day going? Look at the weather, to, hey, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And obviously, there's the like earthly conversation that starts at the beginning, and then going to this deep, intense question of, if you were to die today, would you go to heaven? And that's not a conversation that a lot of people have, but it's one that needs to happen. And again, I read earlier that quote that says that we can end wars and abortion and poverty and so on and so forth, but without the gospel, people will still go to hell. Those things at the end of the day, although they matter, and although we shouldn't not do those things or try and end those wicked, evil things, it's what the gospel is what matters, and the gospel is what saves. So I want to encourage you to step out and to step aside from your fears. And if you are saved, you weren't always. You made that choice, and someone was brave enough to speak out and share the truth with you. And it's important that you do the same thing as we are commanded to. I will get off my soapbox on that one. But I hope that this has been an encouragement to you and a blessing. I hope that God will use it in your life. I especially hope that if you did grow up, or you have a similar story to me of someone that has identified, for a Christian for years and haven't understood what that actually means, that you would take the next step to believe in Christ, that you would accept that truth, that you are saved fully by grace, and that there's nothing that you can do to lose that. Thank you for listening. Thank you for trusting me to share my story with you. And if you need a Bible, if you want to talk, if you have questions about the gospel, you can reach us on social media. I'm actually not even going to pretend to know that I know the handles of our social media. I think it's Unstoppable Grace. Heidi's usually here to help me with that. But our name is Unstoppable Grace, so if you search us, you'll find us. And in closing, as we always say, on our own, we are so far from great, but by His grace, we are unstoppable.
That's it for now for Unstoppable Grace. Thanks so much for listening, and stay tuned to hear more on this topic on our next episode.